Hurry up and wait. Ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, Wisconsinites are watching and waiting with interest to see which of three possible paths Democratic Governor Tony Evers will take in responding to the $81.6 billion two-year budget presented to him on Friday. Evers has until July 5th to decide whether to A, sign it, B, veto it, or C, use his powerful partial line item veto and creatively alter it. Coming up, what area Republicans and two key area leaders had to say at a Thursday news conference on the GOP budget that the governor is contemplating. That's next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. State Representative Jesse James, in his first term as a representative of the 68th Assembly District, kicked off Thursday's news conference talking about the $81.6 billion budget that passed the Assembly 60-39 and narrowly passed the Senate on a 17-16 vote.
This strong budget is the fruit of months and months of hard work and compromise. I want to thank each member of the Joint Finance Committee for their time and efforts. While not everyone got what they wanted, everyone has a lot to be proud of in this budget.
James gives the backstory on how the GOP-controlled legislature arrived at this budget.
8 years ago, the state was having very different budget deliberations. Unemployment was over 9%, and a $3.4 billion deficit forced them to make some tough, bold choices. But instead of shying away from the challenge, they stepped up. And I'm so glad that they did. Because of the choices made in the last 8 years, Governor Evers inherited one of the best budget scenarios in a generation. Instead of squabbling over what programs should or shouldn't be cut, our debate was what to do with a budget surplus of nearly $1 billion. Instead of unemployment over 9%, we have an unemployment under 3% for the 16th straight month. We have a growing manufacturing sector, and median wages are rising. The Chippewa Valley has many reasons to be excited about this budget. And yet there is one more crucial aspect of this budget that gets overshadowed. This budget not only invests the most transportation dollars in a generation, and not only increases school funding by $604 per student, and not only increases reimbursement rates for critical health care providers, amidst all of that, we still found a way to provide a $500 million income tax cut and $60 million in property tax relief.
Grace Lutheran Communities in Altoona not only hosted Thursday's Republican news conference, but CEO Randy Bestel was the first of two key area leaders to speak at the news conference. He said he's pleased with the budget, saying that he's tried to make it known in the area of long-term care that
we have a crisis, and that has to do with the ever-increasing number of people like me, a lot of you guys, our baby boomers that are going to start needing health care in the next few years. And we have a crisis of caregiver shortages where it is really difficult to retain and recruit caregivers. And so that was our message to the legislature, to the administration, that we need to do something about the infrastructure of the nursing home reimbursement formula.
Bestel says things are so bad that the average nursing home loses $78 a day on Medicaid-funded patients or residents.
This, I like to think, is the first step in a journey where we're addressing that very critical issue. Many people are leaving long-term care because facilities like these two aren't able to raise wages because there isn't enough funding. And so we're very appreciative of the fact that was addressed. The other key issue that I see that we're very appreciative of is the whole issue with what family care does for people that want to stay in their homes as long as possible. And what they've done is pass a budget that has allowed for family care program, which funds people to stay in their homes and in their communities as long as possible, to pay those community caregivers what we call a pass-through through a caregiver workforce funding that is in the budget. And the impact of that is very substantial. Grace Lutheran Foundation happens to transfer every penny of that into wages, you know, for those caregivers that work in assisted living buildings. Uh, and other community programs like our adult day service programs. So, as I said, we're very appreciative that, you know, of the funding that has been included in this for these caregivers. And we're hopeful that the governor also sees that this is important, and again, are very thankful.
Giving credit to both Republicans and Democrats, UW-Eau Claire Chancellor James Schmidt was the second key area leader to join Bestel in explaining at Thursday's news conference why he's excited about the budget.
I want to start by thanking all the legislators that you see here, as well as the entire bipartisan group of legislators from the entire Chippewa Valley and beyond. Today is a great day because the budget that was approved by the Assembly and the Senate earlier this week includes my top priority for the budget, which was a replacement of the Science and Health Science Building at UW-Eau Claire. It is a great example of where the education community, the business community, came together to express clearly to area legislators its importance. I've been proud of the legislative delegation, both Republicans and Democrats, coming together to say this is one of our top priorities for Western Wisconsin.
Chancellor Schmidt says Phillips Hall is nearly 60 years old and designed during the Eisenhower administration. Its problems and deficiencies have been well documented.
And it's hard to believe that that building has 5,800 unduplicated students a year taking classes in that building, many more doing research in that building. It has produced two Rhodes Scholars from UW-Eau Claire in a 10-year period. We're the only comprehensive university in the Midwest ever to have one, and we've had two. So we know there's great potential on our campus. Imagine what a 21st century science building that'll last another 60 years will do. But I give a lot of credit to legislators who say that this is worth making that investment. This is moving the state forward.
Another key area of the budget is infrastructure, and that was tackled in Thursday's news conference in Altoona by Republican State Representative Romaine Quinn of Rice Lake's 75th Assembly District.
So this budget does a number of things. We were grateful to see Governor Evers come out with a 10% increase. So we worked hard through the joint finance process to say, keep Governor Evers' 10% increase, but we need more funding for those local projects. So joint finance heard our call and invested over $90 million into the local road improvement program. Your local officials will know this as LRIP. And then even more important is we changed how the program works. So we lowered the necessary match. So the poorest townships in my district, and Representative Summerfield's and Petrick's and Pershinsky's and Edmings and Jesse James's districts will have an opportunity to access funds that were forever out of reach, because we lowered the match requirements to 10% from 50%. So this is a great budget for our rural areas that are in need of an injection for their infrastructure. It is the largest investment in a generation in new revenues, and we look forward to continuing making sure those projects continue to be completed in the future, because all of us deserve good infrastructure, and it's important for the economics of every area in the state, not just the large mega projects in the southeastern part.
Republican State Representative Romaine Quinn of Rice Lake. State Representative Warren Petrick of the 93rd Assembly District in the Chippewa Valley labeled himself the old timer among the area legislative Republicans, saying that this was the fifth budget he's been privileged to work on. At Thursday's news conference in Altoona, Petrick addressed workforce issues.
It's always a challenging time to not only spend the taxpayers' money in a wise and prudent way, but make investments that really change the direction of the state. What is more important than putting people to work and keeping them in great family-sustaining jobs for our economic success of a state or a local region? We're very blessed in this area to have more than enough jobs available. The state website last week had over 100,000 jobs just on that site available, but they need to be trained. So my goal as the chair of workforce development is to attract, to retain, and to train people that need jobs and connect them with the employers that are looking for great workers. And we have more than enough in our area to fill those areas. But workforce development, I was able to work on several initiatives with my colleagues to provide more money for things such as Project Search, a marvelous program that many of you are familiar with. It's very active here in Eau Claire. It was one of the first types of programs that put people with disabilities into a workforce area, find their gifts, and let them blossom. So we thank the Mayo Clinic for their partnership on this with the Eau Claire area schools. It's been tremendously successful. We put more money, $500,000 more into that. Department of Corrections, there's a whole group of people that can enter our workforce if they're trained properly. So this budget puts a $1 million increase in training in classrooms within every minimum and medium security prison in the state. So we're trying to find ways to get them to be productive and really substantial members of our communities as they come out of incarceration. Youth apprenticeships, we increased the funds over the governor's ask by $5.5 million and fully fund the demand for this really successful program that gets children, young people, into careers that are ready to be filled. So this is a wonderful thing. We have great employers in our area like Royal Credit Union, Reality Works, Hillside Dental, Market & Johnson, Xcel Energy, Plank Enterprises, Sport Rider, Physician Weight Loss Centers. These are all partners in that successful program. Career and Technical Education grant funding, $6 million increase. The tech colleges will receive $25 million more. And of course, the UW Science Hall is a tremendous economic and workforce driver. And I'm so excited. I hope I live long enough to see all the fruition, but it will go on and on for the next 50 to 100 years of really, really changing how the Chippewa Valley is a leader in workforce development.
This is Chippewa Valley This Week. I'm Mark Halverson on WWIB and WOGO. I got the chance to ask the one and only question at Thursday's Republican news conference on the budget. I asked the Republican contingent, what about the criticism leveled at them for failing to expand Medicaid? Republican State Representative Rob Summerfield stepped up with the answer.
We can get in the policy debate of what the long-term effects expecting Medicaid would do onto the state. We can look at other states. I know New England states are really looking at what the decisions they made. So with the route that we did, we used the Medicaid surplus dollars that we had over closely about $300 million to make our investments and priorities. Governor Evers wanted to expand Medicaid, but he did not take care of our nursing homes or our personal care workers. So us and the Republicans, we funded our priorities living within our budget without expanding government to make sure that we have our investments in our priorities for our most vulnerable.
In addition, Summerfield explained why he thinks it was appropriate for Thursday's news conference on the budget to be held at Grace Lutheran Communities in Altoona.
One of the biggest things I heard from my constituents throughout the last 3 years of being in office and campaigning is we need more investments in health care, especially nursing homes and personal care workers who serve our most vulnerable. We here in the Chippewa Valley know this important role and the impact they have on our community, so this budget reflects these priorities. In his budget, Governor Evers proposed a 3% increase for both nursing homes and personal care workers over the biennium. However, these were small increases that did not go far enough to address this critical situation, especially in rural areas, of keeping the residents, the community members in their community. With the nursing home closing, this is one of those that Governor Evers' proposal didn't even go far enough, did not go far enough at all. So, working with Joint Finance, I introduced budget motions to increase reimbursement rates by 10% for both groups and work closely with members of Joint Finance, especially Joint Finance Chairman John Nygren, to address these issues. Ultimately, the budget we voted on invests $1.6 billion in health care, including more than doubling Governor Evers' recommendations with a 7% rate increase for nursing homes and a 12% rate increase for personal care workers. We know, like Randy mentioned, Grace Lutheran, that, hey, this doesn't solve the problem, but this is a great step to address the nursing home and the personal care worker shortage that we addressed in the state and especially here in the Chippewa Valley.
A number of area Republicans at Thursday's news conference at Grace Lutheran Communities in Altoona, joined by two key area leaders supporting the budget and aspects that included their areas of interest, including the Grace Lutheran Communities CEO Randy Bestel and UW Eau Claire Chancellor James Schmidt. I'm Mark Halverson, thanking you for joining us on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. Stay tuned. Keep watching and waiting with interest to see what will happen between now and July 5th. Will Governor Evers sign the budget in its entirety? Will he veto it flat out? Or will he use his powerful partial line item veto? We'll wait and see. Again, check out the podcast of this program at WWIB.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Halverson.